Turning your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse number 30. Psalm 119, verse number 30. Just keep your fingers there. I'm sorry? Yes, sir. Psalm 119 and verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. And if you'll put your finger there, and then turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. If you'll read that with me, Ecclesiastes 3:1, and then I'll turn over and I'll read Psalm 119, 130 on my own. Stand with me, please, beginning there at Ecclesiastes 3, if you'll read with me, please, on verse number 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Then over Psalm 119, verse number 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, we're thankful for the good day you've given us. Thank you for, Lord, the different services and how you've met and how you've blessed in them. And ask now that you please be with this service. Pray that you please be with the special music, prepare our hearts, but then be with our preacher as he preaches. Speak to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you please just be with the time that we have with your word. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Series on Sunday night, Seasons of Life Building, Interrupted by Life Improvement, and appreciate Brother Gellis being here last week in my place and doing a good job filling in on that particular subject on friendship last Sunday evening. But now we're going to pick up where we left off, and let's pray together. We'll jump into this tonight and hopefully be a help and a blessing, if not now to you, maybe down the road if it's needed. Father, we thank you for the good songs we've sung tonight. I trust, Lord, you've been honored and blessed and glorified by what's been done. And now we come to the preaching of your word. And, Lord, I just ask that you'll anoint it, bless it, help it to be, Lord, a very practical, helpful message for our people. And God, help us to live like Christ would want us to live in every situation that comes along, even ones we don't plan on. Help me tonight. In these moments, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There are seasons of life, and every one of those seasons has a particular purpose. And that's what we've been talking about for several Sunday nights. Seasons of life building. We're kind of in that third season. They're not hard and fast age groups, but we're talking now about that group maybe out of high school to approximately 30 years of age, and maybe it wouldn't quite get to 30 or maybe a little bit beyond. Again, it's not a hard and fast age group, but that's about the time that we've been talking, the age group we've been talking about the last couple of messages on these on this series. Now, the last time I spoke about it, I spoke about the subject of marriage, and I gave a little attention to the fact that some get a little frustrated when marriage comes a little slower than what they think it should, okay? Tonight, I want to speak to a specific group of young people, and I won't speak to the parents of those young people as much as I will the young people. You may think tonight that, and by the way, I just look up in the balcony and see Luke McDonald sitting up there, and I'm reminded that they leave tomorrow to go to the Philippines on the missions trip. And so if you think about it, pray for them. What time y'all taking off, Luke? At noon tomorrow, and they'll be gone for how many days? 12 days. So we want to pray for them as they go over there with Brother Gellis and that group. If you might not ever need this, what I'm going to talk about tonight, but you might. You might not think that you'll need it, because it doesn't. This is not how it usually goes, but you might need this down the road. If everything kind of works out like we think it should, most young adults, age 21 to 25, get married and start their own building block of society. And we talked about that last time we were on this topic. But things don't always work out like we think they should. Young adults end up living at home longer than they anticipated. In fact, sometimes young people go away to college with the mindset that, you know, I'll never live at home again. When the truth of the matter is, there are young adult children who do end up living at home with their parents after college years. Now, the Pew Research Center, which is a group that does surveys and polls and things like that with a religious, spiritual slant, they published a survey in August of 2013 that was actually conducted in 2012, and they discovered that in that survey that 56% of young adults ages 18 to 24 were living with their parents. That's in the year 2012. 56% of young people ages 18 to 24 were living with their dad or their mom. Now, when you go to ages 25 to 31, the percentage decreased sharply down to 16%. So 18 to 24 age group, 56% of those young adults, single young adults, were living at home with their parents. When you go to 25 to 31, it was 16. Now, when you take the whole group, age 18 to 31, you see the average is 36%. Over one-third of all young adults between the ages of 18 and 31 years of age in 2012 were living with their parents, either one or both of their parents. Now, obviously, the recession, if you want to call it that, of 2009 had something to do with that. The job market has changed drastically. You know, everybody thinks, you know, a four-year degree. I'm not against degrees, folks, but there's a lot of people coming out of college with a four-year degree that can't find work. A lot of them. The job market has changed. And also, there's been a decrease there's a decline in marriage. And you see that now. People live together and experiment rather than obey the Word of God. And so there are reasons for it, contributing factors. So in meditating upon that whole matter this week on the subject matter for tonight's message, it came to my mind that we have this in our church. We have young adults who are in that age bracket between 18 and 31 years of age who are living at home with their parents. My wife and I have had this happen in our own home. One of our children lived with us after Bible college for an entire year before they got married. Another one of our children lived at home for 6 months with us after college before they got married. So we've been through this ourselves at the house. Now, if you are a young adult child living at home, it presents a different challenge than when you were a teenager. And the truth of the matter is, there's not a lot of Bible subject matter pertaining to this specific topic. Now, I'm going to say this is speculation. This is my opinion. This is pure speculation. But I would guess that Jesus did exactly that. I would guess that until he began his public ministry at age 30, he was living under the watch care of his dad, his earthly dad, guardian Joseph, and his mother Mary. He was an apprentice. Is not this the carpenter's son? We know he's grown up around here. Now that's speculation. There's no Bible verse that tells us that. I can't take you to a Bible verse that says that's the exact case. But I would think that at age 30, when he began his public ministry, he just had finished living at home with his parents. When I say parents, I'm using that word loosely about Joseph, his earthly guardian. We don't have a particular Bible example to turn to and learn from. So what we have to do, this is why I had Brother Mick read with us Psalm 119:130. When there's not a particular Bible passage to turn to learn about something that's becoming kind of a predominant thing in our society, the thing to do, folks, is to let general biblical principles that make common sense guide you. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And I believe that's about every subject, everything in life. I believe this book right here, this book entering into our minds, into our hearts, this book gives us light on everything. Light on everything. So I think if you're a young adult child living at home, you can't take the Bible and turn to a particular Bible passage. And by the way, you say, well, that'll never be me. Don't say that. You don't have any idea. You have no idea where you can't predict the future. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I know it's not what a day may bring forth. And if you are living at home and you feel like you're a failure, I think you can dismiss that too, because this is just the way our society is right now. It's very expensive to move out. It's very difficult to come out of college. I don't care with whatever degree you get, it's very difficult to come out of college as a single adult and get a job that pays enough money to support your own self out there by living. That's tough. It's tough in this day and age. So you can't just say, well, that'll never happen to me. I'll never move back in with my mom and dad. You might find yourself back home in your bedroom with those little cars on the wall, you know, those little dolls, and you're thinking to yourself, what in the world am I doing back here in my parents? This is my bedroom when I was a kid. Well, you know, redecorate. Okay, amen, that'd be good. But anyway, what the entrance of thy words giveth light. The Word of God gives light. When you pay attention to biblical general Bible principles, you can learn from them. So, based on general Bible principles, I want to make these. And this is not to parents. By the way, that may be another message down the road in this thing, because I do think parents have to be wise. I do think there's a difference in parenting a young adult child at home and a teenage child at home. It's a difference, and I've done it. Okay, but I want to talk to the young people tonight and to anybody who might be in this situation in the years to come based on simple, general Bible principles. Number one, it is usually safest to stay at home until you get married. It's usually safest to stay at home until you get married. Four times the Bible says that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. Four times. It's in the book of Genesis, in the book of Matthew, I think either Mark or Luke, and in the book of the Ephesians. Four times the Bible says that. Now, that seems to imply that young adult children are safest under their parents' authority and under their parents' watch care until they get married. There are exceptions. If a young person, a young man or young adult lady would come from an unsaved family that's very dysfunctional, where there's cursing and drinking and fighting and bickering and filth, then you know what? It might not be best to move back home. There are exceptions, okay? When it gets longer than what would be considered normal. You noticed in that survey that there was a significant decrease in the percentage of young adults living at home from age 25 to 31, only 16%. So if it goes a little longer, if it goes into the 26, 27, 28, 29 age bracket, there may be a time for a young adult child to move out. And there are other reasons that would be an exception, okay? But in most cases, it is safest for single young adults, especially those 18 to 25, to live at home. It's safest. It's the safest place for you to be. In the first case, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, God said that. And then He created Eve to be with the man, so it's not good for the woman to be alone either. And when you are married, there's accountability. And when you're living at home, there's accountability. But when you're living alone, there is no accountability. And as appealing as that may seem to you, the Bible says it's not good. It's not good to be alone. It's not safe to be alone. So I think the safest thing to do for young adult children, I'm talking about young adult men and young adult women, the safest thing for you to do is stay under the watch care, the authority, the auspices of your dad and mom until it's time to get married. You say, now what about an unmarried young adult that has to go off to work somewhere? Well, folks, you know, there are cases. A young man in our church did this very thing. A young man in our church who worked an internship in a state far away from here had to live away from his parents, and he found a church. That's what you always do first. You find a church first. He found a church, and then he found a family in the church that had a big home, an elderly couple that had a large home, and they had kind of a basement area, and he rented a room from that family and lived with them when he did his internship. That's safe. That's wise. He put himself, even though they weren't his parents, he was under some kind of accountability with that couple that he was living with. This idea of I'm going to get me an apartment, I'm going to get me some friends, and I'm going to move out because I'm an adult now, that's one of the unwisest things you'll ever do. Now, again, if it goes further than age 26, 27, there are going to be exceptions. But I'm talking about 18, I'm talking about out of high school and even out of college, that 18 to 24, 25 age bracket, the safest place for you to be is at home with your parents. If you have to live apart, if it comes to it and you have to live apart, you got to find young adult friends of the same faith, of the same Christian practice, to whom you can be accountable. But that would be my very last choice. It's safe to stay at home under the authority of your parents. It's safe. Number two, obey the house rules. Obey the house rules. Now, God expects the dad to be the head of the home. I talked to Ben and Mary before church tonight, just a little marriage counseling. And I told Ben, I said, Ben, you can search the scriptures through and you'll never find anywhere where the Bible says that Christ is the head of the home. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the home. Of course, under the leadership of Jesus Christ. But God has put dad in the home to lead the home, and part of leading the home is setting the rules. And for you to think that you're going to live at home under no rules is fantasy. That's not going to work. You don't even approach it that way. For you to think, well, I'm a young man, I'm not a teenager anymore. Okay. But you're living under the roof of somebody who's paying for the mortgage or paid for it already and putting food on the table and sleeping in their bed and you're under the headship of your dad if you're under his roof. Now, there ought to be some allowances for people your age. There ought to be allowances for people who are 19, 20, 21, 22 that are different than teenagers. And this is where the parents have to kind of come up with some wisdom on your own with your young people that age and those young adult children. But the basic rules of behavior should be the same. And guys, ladies, if you're living at home now, they should be followed. Rules about church attendance. And parents, I would not open my home to a young adult child who didn't attend church. Under the roof of my house, they're going to church. Church attendance, entertainment, attire, music, all of it. If you're living at home, you put yourself under the authority of your dad. Now, you say, what about coming and going? Because I'm older, and I should be able to kind of decide on my own when to come and go. Well, let me tell you about coming and going as a young adult. A lot of your parents, their approach to your coming and going is based on that most important element in any relationship that's called trust. And if you have spent your teenage years being untrustworthy, don't expect them to start trusting you because you hit age 20. There's no switch to flip. If you've messed around, if you have been sneaky, if you have been deceptive, if you have been dishonest, if you've been operating under the radar, if you've been going behind their backs as a teenager, you cannot expect them to just flip a switch at age 20 and say, okay, now I trust you. Trust is earned. So if you see yourself living at home someday under the authority of your dad and mom and you want a little bit of leniency on some things, the best thing for you to do is to establish a strong relationship of trust with your parents now as a teenager. Because if you don't do that, if you waste those years and you waste that time, they're not going to trust you. They're not going to have some special privileges for you because they can't trust you. But if you are honest and if you are open face and if you are obedient and trustworthy as a teen, as a young adult, they will trust you. And that trust will continue and grow as you obey the house rules. And the more you obey, the greater their trust will be. And they'll be able to loosen up and let you do some things that maybe the teenagers won't do. But obey the house rules. And if you're a smart teenager, you'll start doing that now. And quit giving your folks trouble. Put yourself under their authority and develop a strong relationship of trust. And do it now. Now, here's some things. Respect the curfew. Respect the curfew. Whatever it is, respect the curfew. If you're out late and you're not going to make curfew, you have a phone. Everybody has a phone. If you don't have one, see Obama. He'll get you one. Amen? That's right. So everybody has a phone. So you can use it to call, okay? So get your phone and call. Say, Mom, Dad, I don't have to call. I'm 20 years of age. If you have a curfew and you're going to be 5 minutes late, get on the phone and make a call to your parents and say, Dad, Mom, somebody, I'm running a little bit late. Well, I'm good. No, you call. Respect the curfew, and when you can't keep it, call. Now, ask Dad and Mom to define the boundaries. Don't assume that the boundaries are going to change greatly because I'm 20. I'm 22. Ask Dad and Mom, what are the boundaries? What do I do? What should I do? What should I not do? What are the boundaries, Mom? What are the boundaries, Dad? Disregarding the rules and boundaries will cause confusion for younger siblings living in the home. They cannot allow that. That sends confusion. That sends a distorted message to your younger brothers and sisters. So you have to get along with them. You have to get along with the rules. On the other hand, when you obey the rules and you do right, the example that you'll set for your younger siblings will be powerful, especially when it's carried out in the right spirit, without pouting. By the way, you're supposed to be grown up. Grown-ups don't pout. Mature young people don't pout. That's toddler stuff. Okay? I imagine Grace has seen plenty of that in 25 years of working back there. Those toddlers pouting. That's not of age. So, you obey the house rules. Find out what they are. And again, Dad and Mom, you know, you have to be wise in this area. And they should be established. They should be talked out. They should be said. Nothing should be assumed. They should be dealt with by both parties if there's a young adult child living at home. Number three. I know, folks, it's not real spiritual, but it'll sure help your home be a little heaven on earth. Okay? And you might be there, and you think, now, I'll never need that. You might need this. Number three, carry your weight. Carry your weight. You don't want to be a burden to your parents. Carry your weight. When it comes to household and yard work, carry your weight. You know what? Some kids have the mentality, some teenagers, I've seen this in my own teenagers. They get a little bit of a job, and they think, Well, I've been to work. And now I come home, I don't have to work. Where'd you get that fantasy island thing? Need you to do this. Well, I've already been to work today, Dad. I've already worked. Oh, okay. So like your dad, he goes to work, works all day, and the grass just mows itself. When he comes home, it just takes care of itself. My dad has a friend who lived in, he was friends with this guy in Georgia. What was his name? The real ingenious guy. It was at the church there. He was a deer hunter. Oh, I forget his name. I'm sorry. Mark Sussman. Thank you, Luke. And so Mark came up with, he somehow got a self-propelled lawnmower, and I don't know how he did it, folks. He put a stake in the middle of his front yard, and he did it, and he cranked that thing and made it so it mowed itself. And mowed his whole yard. He just sat and watched it and do that. So, I don't know how he did it, but Dad said, I saw it happen. He said, really, that mower just mowed the whole yard. I just rounded around that stake like that. Now, look, this kind, and if your mom has to work outside the home, the dishes don't wash themselves. Look, folks, a home is work. And you and I'm being a little bit facetious, probably. I'm sure you young people, you young adults do this. But work, you need to help carry the weight of the household and the yard work. The inside work, the outside work, carry your weight. Young adult, there's a young adult, a woman at home, take responsibility for the evening meal. Cook for mom one or two nights a week. Your future husband will appreciate it. When you get married, come off the honeymoon where you've eaten out every day. You come back and the husband looks at you and says, what are we having for tonight? Oh, yeah, I got to cook. And people are saying, oh my. So cook it one or two nights a week. And that includes doing the dishes. Dishes don't wash themselves. If you're a young adult man at home, mow the yard, trim it, keep it looking good. Do it without having to be asked. Do it without having to be asked, okay? I'm simply talking about carrying your weight. Carrying your weight. Now, be a part of the household chores. And then carry your weight when it comes to money. Now, a lot of that's going to depend on dad. If dad is doing okay, if dad's been at his work for a while, and things are okay financially and in place, you know, your dad may say to you, you know what, I don't need any rent from you. You're my child. I don't mind feeding you and having you here in the house and with a little electricity. You just save all your money. That's fine. But carry your own weight for your car. Gas, your insurance if possible, your clothes. If you're not on your dad's plan, if you can't be on your dad's plan around the house for the internet, for the phone, carry your own weight, contribute. Maybe you could buy some extra food items that mom won't normally spend money for. Maybe you could spring for pizza one Friday night, say, hey, I'd like to treat the family to pizza for this Friday night. Or some carry-out food once in a while. Buy some gas for the mower. Something is broken. You see something's broken that needs repaired at the house. Get it fixed. You know, if dad is kind, and most dads are like that, I don't think when the two daughters, the one that lived at home for a year and the one that lived at home for 6 months, I don't think I took anything from them financially. I said, I don't mind doing that. I'm a dad. But you don't want to be a mooch. You said, well, they don't need it. Yeah, but you need to carry your own weight. To some degree. Carry your own weight. So around the house, carry your own weight. When it comes to work, carry your own weight as much as dad wants you to financially. Let me say this, number four tonight. Invest your time at church. Invest your time at church. Folks, look, if you're not married, the Bible makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul talks about that. He said, you know, the person that's not married doesn't have to care for the things of this earth. The person that's not married can care for the things of the Lord. You don't have the responsibilities of the marriage relationship. You don't have the responsibilities of parenting. Those take time. So a young adult man, a young adult woman living at home, having a job, working some hours, a lot of time has extra time that maybe married young men, married young women don't have. Don't sit and watch endless television or play endless video games. Be involved in something meaningful. Offer to help out for special events. Don't wait until the church calls you. Call the church, help. Say, Brother Mick, I'd like to help on this youth activity. Help get cleaned up for projects around. I offer to be a chaperone. Just be involved. You're going to be involved in something, so you might as well make it something of eternal value. Be involved at church. Invest your time there. And then let me say this, number five tonight. You need to respect your parents' reflective instincts. Now you say, what in the world do you mean by that? Reflexive. I said reflective. Reflexive instincts. There are certain reflexive instinctive aspects of being a dad or a mom. You ever have your reflexes checked at the doctor's office? They take that rubber mallet and pound it on your knee and your leg kicks. That's your reflexes. Boom. Just happens. There are certain reflexive, instinctive aspects that go along with being a dad and being a mom that never change. Even when you get older. Dads tell their kids what to do. I'm 59, 40 years married. When I get around my dad, even when I'm not around my dad, on the phone, he still tells me what to do. Terry, you need to do this. Now do this. Dad, I'm 59. That's what I want to say. I'm 59. I get senior coffees at McDonald's. I'm 59. They were giving me senior coffees before I was 55. I looked like it. And you guys, my daddy still tells me what to do. That's his reflexive instinct. Be glad you got a dad to tell you what to do. Some guys in this room don't have that. A dad's a dad. And you're okay with it, right? Yeah. That was weak. Oh, a dad is a dad. A dad can't. Dads have to work on this. Some measure, dad has to work on it. But you know, there are times when my wife gives me that eye, gives me that look. He's a grown man. It's just in it. It's in the dad. Come on, man. Help me out. It's in the dad. It's a reflexive instinct. It's what dads do. That's expected when kids are younger, but when you get older, it's kind of like, okay, dad, look, I'm not a kid. But it's a reflexive instinctive part of being. And by the way, can I suggest something? If you're a young adult man or woman living at home, more than just respect it, engage in it. So what do you mean? Why don't you beat him to the punch? Why don't you sit down and say, Dad, well, I could really use your advice on this. What do you think I should do? What do you think I should do, Dad? You got any advice on this one? Embrace it. Hey, he has lived a few years longer than you. That's his reflexive instinct. Moms worry. They fret over their children. You know, telling mom, don't worry, mom. That's like a mother of toddlers. On a busy day, you know, parking the car and getting stuff out, and they get the toddler out, and there's a water puddle. It's like mom telling the 2-year-old not to step in the water. That's wasted time. They're going to step in the water. Every time. Oh, mom, don't worry. Moms worry. Moms fret. That's their reflexive instinct. Are you eating right? You're not getting enough to eat. You look skinny. Are you getting enough to eat? Are you sleeping at night? Or do you need some medicine? Here, let me make you some soup. You know, it's reflexive. Moms worry over their kids. And moms get a kick out of doing things for their kids, even when their kids are older. So let mom be a mom. You know, well, she smothers me. I know. Okay? Believe me, I know. I get every time, and they may listen to this message, I'll be in trouble, but every time, what you been doing? Well, oh, let's see, I was over there to preach, and then I came home on Wednesday, and I taught, you know, I was at the church, and I went to the college on Thursday and Friday. I had to do a funeral Friday morning, or then whatever it was, Monday, then I headed for Madison, Wisconsin. Now, Terry, you're going to have to stop this. Terry, you're going to kill yourself. You know, I've already, look, you're just getting, this is too much. You're going to have to slow down, and it's every time on the phone. I've just decided that when they asked me, when she asked me, what have you been doing? I'm saying, nothing. Nothing. Just tell them, nothing. Nothing. But that's a mom. A mom worries over her kids. That's their reflexive instinct. So you know what? Respect it, but more than that, engage it. Mom, I'm in a hurry. Can you iron this for me? Mom, this button on my shirt has come. Can you fix this? That's what mom loves to do. Reflexive. Hey, mom, how long has it been? When's the last time you made, you know, that meal, some dish? Yeah, that's it. Man, how long has it been since you made that? I love that. You know what she'll do? She'll fix it. Because that's what moms do. Mom's reflexive instinct is to take care of their children, fret over them, worry over them. So don't just relax and understand the reflexive instincts of your parents, because the bottom line is, one of these days, you're probably going to be one, and you're going to have the same instincts that your dad and mom have. I get fretted at that, and my mother, Ben, calls. And Scotty and Darlene Rackley had to leave for furlough early because Scotty had to have surgery on his esophagus in South Africa, and they just started the Bible Institute, and they weren't supposed to leave. And now there's 4 hours of Bible Institute on Saturday, Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday afternoon, and 2 or 3 hours of Bible Institute on Sunday afternoon. And Ben's got it all. And what am I doing on the phone? Son, you can't do that. Son, you're going to kill yourself. Son, you're going to know that. You know, it's just a reflexive instinct of parents. Oh, I don't mind living at home, but honestly, it's just like they think I'm still a kid. You're their kid. You'll always be their kid. I'm still my dad's kid. I'm still my mom's kid. Now, here's the bottom line. It's unexpected to live at home past college, but it does happen, and it's happening more and more and more. That's the safest place to be until you get married. Obey the house rules. Just whatever the house rules are, obey them. Carry your weight. Invest your time at church. And respect your parents' reflexive instincts. Look, you don't want to pay the price to be right through your teen years, to obey your parents, respect your parents, to do right all those teen years. And then if you have to move back home, have everything fall apart in the few years you're at home as a young adult. Now, parents have to be considerate of young adult children, but I want to say this, the burden of the relationship is on you. The burden is always on the subordinate. Always. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Children, obey your parents. Servants, the burden's always on the subordinate. So parents have to pay attention and be wise if having young adult children living at home. But the burden always falls on the subordinate. So you know what you do? You just make sure that you're right. Follow these guidelines, others that you can think of that you hear from somebody else. But if you end up living at home, it's unexpected. It's not what you planned. It doesn't have to be. Fight, bicker, and a good relationship fall apart. And you storm out of the house. Mad, get out of the watchful care of your dad and go wreck your life somewhere. You don't need that.
You don't need it.
Now, you want, you may never need that. But if you need it, that's not any specific Bible passage, but those are general Bible principles, and the entrance of thy word gives light on how to see our way through. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, I pray that you'll take what's been said. I know it was very simplistic. It was not meaty as far as the deep things of the Word of God. But I do pray that something that was said tonight can help young adult men and young adult ladies have a very happy and enjoyable existence if they live at home after the college or during those early adult years in life. And Father, we don't always understand how things or why things work out like they do, but I pray that you'll help us to be biblically right and enjoy our family time together all the way through. Bless the folks in our church, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, I didn't talk about salvation tonight, but you're in a church that believes that the only way to heaven is through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that because that's what the Bible teaches. If you're not sure that you're not sure about being saved, we have men that can talk to men, ladies that can talk to ladies about the matter of salvation. All you have to do is come tell this brother Mick here at the front, "I'm not sure I'm saved." If you are saved, you need to be baptized, you need to come, follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Or if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight any certain way during this message about anything, then you'll be obedient to Him. We invite you to the altar to pray and ask God's help in your life. Father, bless our church. Be with our people in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies will play us a song and you obey the Lord tonight.